In Genesis 12:2, we learn, I will make of thee a great nation, as a promise God gave Abraham, who married Sarah, of course, and they had Isaac, even after past childbearing years. Well, God promised, I will make of thee a great nation. And thus, Isaac, as he grew up, married Rebekah, and they had twins, Esau and Jacob. And the promise that God gave Abraham, it would not be fulfilled through Esau, the firstborn twin of Isaac and Rebekah, but through their secondborn twin, Jacob, and his 12 sons and their families. And so remember in Genesis 35:10, what God said to Jacob, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name, and he called his name Israel. And the Israelites, the children of Jacob, being called Israel, they were more importantly called the children of the Lord your God. In Exodus 4:22 and 23 and Deuteronomy 14:1, as now they had become a nation, Esau's descendants became the nation of Edom, and they were in opposition to Israel. There were struggles, of course, between Esau and Jacob, starting out in Rebekah's womb. And so a good question for us to ask this morning would be, what caused the strife between Jacob and Esau? And we will begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And as we remember the initials PFE, that should help us each day realize the most important thing that we could be doing. Yes, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as, yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That is, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern that God has given us, John 4:24. Now, I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. We really appreciate having visitors. Something else to mention, if you are interested in studying the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities. We'll set that up at your convenience and certainly look forward to that. And also, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. Again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, I should have mentioned we do have Bible correspondence courses available also. Now, let's get back to our study of the question, what caused the strife between Jacob and Esau? And as I was talking about the Israelites being called the children of the Lord your God, do we in the Lord's church really appreciate being called the sons of God? 1 John 3:1-2. We certainly should. But as we begin now to answer the question, what caused the strife between Jacob and Esau, we need to go to the book of Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 25 and begin in verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So, notice, as the boys grew, verse 27, Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So notice, the proper term children within her womb was certainly not termed fetus. What a horrible name to try to cover the sin of taking the innocent life of an unborn child. Well, yes, it's the babe in the womb. It's a child. But notice, this is the beginning struggle between Jacob and Esau, as certainly in the time of Rebekah's bearing there, these boys, they were struggling in her womb. And you see, God is saying here, the elder shall serve the younger. Well, that certainly came to pass. The Lord's prophecy given to Rebekah was fulfilled when the descendants of Jacob and Esau multiplied greatly, and they became the nations of Israel and Edom. And secondly, when the Edomites served the Israelites during the time of David's reign, 2 Samuel 8:14. Now we need to point this out, because you see where Isaac loved Jacob. Isaac loved Esau because he was a hunter and he enjoyed his meat. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So that's staying with the scriptures. You can see I can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. So notice, as you have here, partiality of favoring one child over another. This is definitely not proper. And because this is what happened and it's recorded in the scriptures, doesn't mean that it's right. Of course not. How many families have been brought to ruin because of showing partiality of one child over another? That's just so sad when that happens. And you see the following tragic event between Jacob and his older twin brother Esau may have been the result of poor parenting. As you continue on, you see Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What a sorrowful situation for Esau to sell his birthright over a bowl of beans or lentils here in the King James. So, you know, you see in Deuteronomy 20:21-15 through 17, the firstborn son normally had the right to a double portion of the paternal property. And this would be an inheritance. And during the patriarchal dispensation, he became the priest of the family. So this is also very important. Jacob, he would have received the birthright through the providence of God without his taking advantage of his brother Esau. There is no way to justify what Jacob did, or certainly not Esau despising his birthright. That's not proper. But notice Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, God would have worked it out. So here's a lesson: when we in the Lord's church fail to respond to our brother's needs, this will be the result. You see, Jacob should have responded to his brother's need instead of taking advantage of it. But here's the result today. If we do likewise, sin will be on our doorstep. Our brother or sister will remain in need. And third, God will not be glorified. 1 John 3:16-18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, from him how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, and we could imply here the word only is certainly implied, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it's good to tell people we love them, but not only tell them, but also what? In deed and in truth. So Isaac, as he was getting on up in years and having poor eyesight, he told Esau to go hunting for venison and prepare the prey for his favorite meal. Well, Rebekah overheard the conversation, so she sees an opportunity for her favorite son Jacob to receive Esau's rightful blessing, not only to succumb his birthright as that had already taken place, but now in Genesis 27:1-7, you see, here's another deception. Rebekah was clearly behind this, as she had said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee, to get Esau's rightful blessing. So at first, Jacob was hesitant to carry out his mother's plan, as he just didn't believe it would work, for one thing. Look at verses 11 through 13 of Genesis 27. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Obey my voice and go fetch me them. Well, when she said, upon me be thy curse, well, she didn't realize that this was going to come about. in a different way than what she was thinking here. After Isaac had given Jacob the blessing he had intended for Esau, you can see the following passage reveals how Esau sought a blessing with tears from his father, but he received one that he did not want. We go now to verses 38 through 41 of Genesis 27. And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shall thy live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." Well, notice that Jacob went by his feelings rather than what he heard. Yes. You see, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. No, you see here, Isaac did not go by his feelings. He went by what he heard. Is that not right? According to Hebrews 11:20, it is. It's made very clear by this verse that Isaac had accepted God's will. Yes, when he spoke the word of God to his sons, he had accepted God's will. Jacob, of course, should have refused from being involved in Rebekah's plan to deceive Isaac, and then reminded his mother about trusting in the will of God. That should have been what happened. You know, as we go on in our study this morning, after Jacob received his father's blessing, Esau's thoughts were set on killing Jacob, but he did not want to take Jacob's life until after mourning Isaac's death, his father. And therefore, the anger of Esau toward his brother resulted in Jacob fleeing for his life. Now remember, when I was talking about Rebekah didn't realize when she said, "The curse be on me," well, how painful it must have been for Rebekah to say goodbye to Jacob and witness her twin sons become enemies. You see, the results of reaping what she had sown. And that's what we need to understand today. Are we sowing the seeds of the kingdom? Are we sowing to the Spirit? If so, we shall reap life everlasting. But if we're sowing to the flesh, what are we going to reap? We're going to reap a bad crop, eternal damnation, if we don't get out of sin and obey the gospel of Christ and live faithfully unto death. Well, let's mention this. Esau had a right to be upset at Jacob, but he was without excuse for hating his brother. 1 John 3:15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. This reveals a flaw in Esau's character, among others. Well, after these brothers united, and this is a beautiful scene in Genesis 33, you'll want to study that, when their families came together, of course Jacob was concerned, and he had a reason to be concerned. And again, you'll want to study that chapter. But they came together in a peaceful way, and thus this is a good scene to, you know, to see them reunited. And then after Isaac died, they both together buried him. Chapter 35, verse 29. So now, as we're asking the question, you know, what caused the strife between Jacob and Esau? Well, certainly we can answer that, as Esau was not helped by his brother, but he despised his birthright and sold it to have something to eat, as he was famished from hunting. And then he was deceived, Isaac, his father, being deceived as Jacob succumbed to his mother's plan to put the animal skin as if he was hairy like Esau on his arms. And so he did deceive his father. Well, again, that caused strife so much that Esau wanted to take his brother's life. But thankfully, he was able to get over his anger. But here, again, is something to emphasize in our study this morning. Although Jacob and Esau reunited in that touching scene recorded in Genesis 33, their descendants, as the nations of Israel and Edom, would continue in strife for centuries. Yes. And you can see, as this prophecy that Isaac gave his son Esau, and as he was begging his father for a blessing, there's more on that prophecy concerning Esau and the history as we study the nation of Edom and its inhabitants there in Mount Seir, as it was often referred to, Edom. And we'll want to mention that, Lord willing, in another study. But as we close out our study this morning, these tragic events could have been avoided. Remember, we mentioned favoritism by parents favoring one child over another. How improper that is. But if they had had the proper love as parents, as they should, Isaac and Rebekah, for both their children, Esau and Jacob. Yes, Esau was a hunter, and Jacob was more of a homeboy, you might say, and that's why his mother favored him. But that didn't matter. You could have one child today that's athletic and the other enjoys playing the violin. Different talents, different makeup, love them the same and appreciate the different abilities. Don't favor one over the other. And two, more importantly, by trusting God to work out the prophecy given Rebekah during her difficult pregnancy, you see, that would have eliminated all these tragic events. Yes, let us wait patiently on the Lord, even in times of suffering. Proverbs 20:22. 1 Peter 4:19. We need to learn patience. It's a Christian grace, is it not? Well, certainly it is. And so as we want to continue our study, Lord willing, next week, we want to ask the question, why do we follow the life of Jacob instead of Esau. And Lord willing, next Sunday being Father's Day, that will make a good study in learning how to be a good leader and how not to follow a bad leader example with Esau. As we know, Jacob would become a leader. And so, as we close out our study this morning, are we willing to trust God and stay with His will and not our own? Yes, and be patient as we pray and ask for God's help. Are we patient? Or do we think that God should immediately do what we ask? Well, then that's not waiting patiently on the Lord, is it? God answers our prayers, yes, but He can answer them no. And that's what we need, because He knows best. And He can answer yes, but not now. It's going to be later. We need to accept that. Trust in God, no matter what happens. That's right. Now, this morning, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. If you have not submitted to the will of God and you're wanting to stay in sin, why? Is it that pleasurable that you don't see what's coming? Yes. When you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap, as we said before, a bad crop. Sowing your wild oats is not the right thing to do. So why not have the best life possible? Once you obey the gospel, you realize how good life is when you're serving God in the Lord's church, in His spiritual body, with all the spiritual blessings. That's right. So we will study together further and show from the Scriptures what one must do in order to be saved. The first step is hearing the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. The next step is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24. And there's evidence, of course, for that beyond measure. Once we realize Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, dying for our sins, that motivates us to repent. Luke 13:3-5, we're getting out of that sinful life, ready to do the will of God. And now, having changed our will, we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, that's unto salvation. Then we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave. Baptism, contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. We come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. And we thank You so much for listening today.